The Senate is celebrating an important milestone, the 40th anniversary of the current committee system, which was first introduced on June the 11th, 1970, ushering in a groundbreaking system of parliamentary inquiry and accountability. Ministers may not like it when they or their heads of department are called to give evidence at estimates, but time and again the process has provided an insight into government administration and helped to show how things might be done better. Senate scrutiny of bills has prevented the enactment of poorly drafted laws, which could have had damaging consequences. And special inquiries have thrown light into dark corners of our past. So how did this system come about? Dr. Rosemary Lang is the clerk of the Senate, having taken over from the long-serving Harry Evans, a regular guest on this program, who retired at the end of last year. Dr. Rosemary Lang, welcome to the National Interest.
Thank you, Peter.
Just remind us what your job is as clerk of the Senate.
Well, as clerk of the Senate, I'm the principal procedural advisor to the Senate, the president, committees, and I support the operations of the Senate. As a house of review, I provide advice to anybody who asks for it. And it's also my job to make sure the proceedings are recorded accurately.
Now, what was the system of committees in the Senate like before the current system, so before June 11th, 1970?
Yes, well, things didn't start from scratch on June 11th, 1970, and the Senate always had committees of one type or another. The Senate had a number of select committees before 1970 that seemed to whet the appetite of senators for more committee work. And you also have to remember that from 1949, when proportional representation came in and when the size of the Senate doubled, there were more backbench senators looking for a role, and we also saw the emergence of minor party representation in the Senate.
So it became became a house that was no longer necessarily dominated by the party in government.
That's true, yes.
And what happened? What were the changes that did occur in 1970?
Well, in 1970, the Senate agreed to establish two new sets of committees, which was quite a curious thing in itself. But on that night, it established seven what are known as legislative and general purpose standing committees that were to stand ready to receive inquiries referred to them by the Senate. And it also established five estimates committees. And the background to this is quite interesting, because as the new Senate, after proportional representation began to take effect, was doing its work, there was a push to have greater scrutiny of government finances, and particularly of what was going into the annual budget bills. So from the early 60s, they had developed a process of examining the particulars of the budget bills in the Senate chamber before the bills were received from the House of Representatives. And while this was an improvement, it was very cumbersome because senators would ask questions, and of course the only person who could answer was a minister. The minister might not have the information at his fingertips, so he would trot over to the advisers' benches, get some advice, come back and answer the question. So I think there was a desire for some greater hands-on examination of these financial proposals and the ability to question public servants directly.
So it formalised really a system that we now know as Senate estimates, a system for scrutinising the budget in much greater detail.
That's right, but in the informality of committee surroundings with direct access to public servants.
Who actually championed these reforms in 1970?
Well, the reforms were coming from a number of different directions. Now, the late Lionel Murphy is often credited with giving birth to the system. What he proposed on that night was the system of legislative and general purpose standing committees. He had been particularly interested in the operations of the congressional committees in Washington, and particularly during the Vietnam War, he was keen to see transcripts of these committees and to see how information about the conduct of the war that may not have been what the official line was being told to the public were coming out through these congressional hearings. He saw them as a very powerful tool. So he proposed those sorts of committees for the Senate. It was the government leader in the Senate, Senator Kenneth Anderson, who put up a motion for five estimates committees. And there was a third proposal too from the DLP leader, Senator Gare.
Vince Gare,
That's right. The third proposal was for a bit of a hybrid system. And out of the three proposals that were before the Senate on this night 40 years ago, that was the one that didn't get up.
But out of these three competing proposals or three separate proposals, we got what has emerged in more or less the form of our current committee system.
That's right, yes.
Now, this is an idea, though, that also had been a long time coming. I think one of your predecessors as Clerk of the Senate, Jim Odgers, had been on a fact-finding mission to Washington as well, I think as early as 1955.
That's right. He got a scholarship to travel to Washington. And it was interesting that he went to Washington rather than Westminster, where, you know, many people looked to get parliamentary inspiration. But Jim Odgers went to Washington and studied the congressional system, came back and presented a report. And the report was tabled in the Senate, and the government leader at the time said something along the lines of, there, you've done a great job bringing this information to the attention of the Senate, but like all change, it takes a long time to take effect, and I think it'll be at least 5 years before these changes see the light of day. Of course, it was a lot longer than that.
So there was some resistance, I guess, to the ideas that he was bringing back from Washington.
Yes, and closer to 1970, when Lionel Murphy was getting interested in the congressional hearings into the Vietnam War, I think there was a bit of a, you know, don't frighten the horses move. And there wasn't a lot of actual mention of congressional committees, but I think it was a very powerful idea behind the push by Lionel Murphy, who would have been advised by Jim Odgers in both the content of the proposal and the tactics for suggesting them.
This is the National Interest on ABC Radio National. I'm speaking to the Clerk of the Senate, Dr. Rosemary Lang. And Dr. Lang, the idea of having committees that weren't dominated by government, I mean, this was a break with, for example, practice in Westminster, wasn't it?
It was, but that in fact took quite a lot longer to come into effect. The original committees all had government chairs, and this was regarded as, you know, that was regarded as the normal thing, because committees were not decision-making bodies. They were fact-finding and advisory bodies. Anybody who disagreed with the majority findings of the committee always had the option of putting in a minority or a dissenting report. It really wasn't till the 90s that the push came for greater diversification of the membership of committees. There had always been a proportional membership so that there were government and opposition and minor party members on the committees, but in 1994 there was a push for greater proportionality, representation, and also for the opposition and the minor parties to have a share in chairing arrangements. So those arrangements came in 1994.
Your immediate predecessor in Harry Evans has argued that the establishment of the committee system was the most significant break from Westminster hegemony, as he puts it. I mean, how significant is the committee system, in your view, to the operation of the Senate?
It's hugely significant, in my view. What happens in the Senate chamber is really the tip of the iceberg. Great deal of work is done by committees. On most days that the Senate is not sitting, there's a committee hearing somewhere in Australia, a Senate committee hearing, finding facts, getting views from people, bringing back to the Senate reports of their work. And since 1970, there have been over 3,000 Senate committee reports. So it's quite a significant body of information gathering and analysis and recommendations that have been put to the Senate and fed into the policy mix or fed into the legislative process in the form of suggestions for improving bills. So it's hugely significant.
And is it being used as vigorously as it might be?
Oh, it's difficult to judge that. I think that the committees are very active. They're doing a lot of work on bills inquiries, suggesting a lot of amendments. They're off doing important policy inquiries. These things are feeding into the policy development process. It's quite common these days to hear ministers in the House of Representatives talk about the work of Senate committees and how they're moving amendments to bills because what has come up before the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee, for example, or the Senate Economics Committee. So there's a very deep acceptance of the work of these committees.
There still seems to be, or there's one issue where I suppose it's felt perhaps that the Senate could push a bit harder, its committees could push a bit harder, and that is the area of ministerial advisers. That is, not public servants, not ministers, but the advisers to ministers, who generally have been shielded from having to answer questions by committees.
Yes, that is possibly the case at the moment, but of course there's no known immunity for ministerial advisers, and these questions are always worked out, you know, on a political basis. And it's not to say that ministerial advisers haven't come voluntarily before Senate committees in the past or have come by order of the Senate in the past. These things have happened. And I think there's a bit of a myth about this, that that ministerial advisers somehow occupy a special position. The fact is, I guess, that it hasn't been tested to the limits.
Dr. Rosemary Lang, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Dr. Rosemary Lang is the Clerk of the Senate, and coming up in a moment, an assessment of the Senate committees from the inside, from three current senators, one Labour, one Liberal and one Green.